It's a great honor to welcome to our airwaves one of the senior figures in the world of music today, and one of the most honored and most active, Krzysztof Penderecki, with whom we are speaking backstage at the J. Pritzker Pavilion in the Choral Room at Millennium Park, because Maestro Penderecki is in town to conduct at the Grant Park Music Festival, not only his own work, the Concerto Grosso No. 1 for three cellos and orchestra, but also a symphony by another composer, Mr. Beethoven, his No. 3 Eroica. First of all, Pan Penderecki, welcome again to Chicago, and thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
Composer and conductor, one followed the other, as I understand, chronologically, and now you do spend a great deal of time doing both or each. How do you see these two roles relating?
Now, it's difficult to have the two professions because it takes a lot of time of my, maybe of the time which I could compose. But I started to conduct very early in a
And originally it was to conduct your own works, no?
Yes, in the very beginning. And then it developed that I'm conducting everything and conducting maybe sometimes 50 concerts a year. Oh. It takes more than half of my time.
Yeah.
But if each concert I'm at least one composition of mine. And this is, of course, best thing that I can do for my music.
And what about for Beethoven's music? Where does that fit in for you, especially as a composer-conductor?
You know, I was studying conducting as well as a composition. And there are some composers I like very much, like Beethoven, like great classics. And this is also a pleasure, and I think that I learned a lot from other composers conducting their music.
You learn technical things, you learn philosophical?
Maybe the form.
Yes.
Especially Beethoven, who was really, in his time, he was very avant-garde composer. Yes. Each symphony is different. There's no another composer who was writing nine symphony, and each one is different one. And for me to be able to conduct and with a good orchestra is also a pleasure.
Right. For Polish music, or music in Poland, we should say, much of the history parallels other aspects of Poland and its search for identity and independence. Here's a great Western nation in terms of traditions and schooling, Latin, Christianity, etc., yet so often seeming to have to make a case to other parts of the world that it is a part of these traditions, and also, of course, drawing on Slavic language tradition. It seems sometimes each generation almost, this this struggle, if that's not too great a word, starts over. Do you think that's a fair characterization?
Yes, you know, I lived most of my time in a very difficult time where we have to make clear on each side we are, artists. And actually, artists in Poland, in the post-war, of course, Poland, we were in opposition to the regime. So I wrote a Polish Requiem, which maybe otherwise I would never write. And also the pieces which are connected with the history which I was living in the time, like the Trenady of the victim of Hiroshima, the Azire for the victim of Auschwitz. Krakow was only 60 kilometers from Auschwitz. So I think if I will be born in other part of the world, I don't know, Australia, so maybe my music will be completely different. It will be not so dramatic. And maybe I will never write Requiem.
You have gone through other changes in your music, not only responding legitimately, as you have just reminded us, to events and geography, but it seems, to outsiders at least, that you have gone through periods of more or less complexity or more or less simplicity. Is it fair to categorize your works that way, or do you feel as if people are putting you under a microscope and putting you,
you
in
know,
a museum?
You know, musicologists, this is their job, you know, to put me, you know, in the categories. I don't think so that... My music is a very individualistic and has nothing to do with other composers, actually. Maybe more the other composer were taking my music, and but not me. I was, from the beginning, alone, actually. The notation which I developed and the kind of orchestration which I use, especially in the 60s and 50s, were completely different.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to Critical Thinking. I'm your host and producer, Andrew Patner. This is 98.7 WFMT and WFMT.com. Music you've heard thus far, framing our conversation with Krzysztof Penderecki backstage in the Choral Room at the J. Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park as a part of the Grant Park Music Festival when Maestro Penderecki was here to conduct his own work as well as the Third Symphony, the Eroica of Beethoven. Music that we're hearing today began with Anaklasis, A-N-A-K-L-A-S-I-S, really the work that brought Penderecki to worldwide attention, written in 1959 and 60 for Baden-Baden, scored for 42 strings, celesta, harp, piano, claves, and six percussionists. We then heard perhaps his most well-known work to this day, after some 50 years, Threnody for the Victims of Hiroshima, 1959 to 1961, scored for 52 strings, which is a combination and a number that means a great deal to Penderecki. We'll resume now the conversation with Krzysztof Penderecki. What about today? Where do you see your music going now, the music you are writing now?
It's a little bit chaotic. You know, after our time of the avant-garde, of the which took, usually avant-garde appears for 2 or 3 years and then the avant-garde is coming. And our avant-garde lasted for almost 40 years,
right.
Which is unique, and I think that is the weakness maybe. Because I left this avant-garde because I did what I was supposed to do and what I thought is enough. I left my followers also looking for something different. Where my music is now, I really don't know, and I don't care so much, you know, because I think I'm writing music which gives me pleasure.
Mm-hmm. And what are you working on now, can you say?
Yes, I am preparing the next opera, the Phaedra, mm-hmm. Racine.
You always like these very quiet, calm subjects for your operas.
Yes, this is this. No, yes.
The Fall of Man, Ubu Rex.
Yeah.
So Phaedra. Yeah.
Phaedra. And also I'm writing now the piece for the 200 years of Musik Gesellschaft in Vienna, Musikverein. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 200 years jubilee.
So this will be a symphonic piece, an orchestral
piece?
Yeah,
it's a double concerto for violin and viola. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have plans always ahead of me at least 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I will be able to write all this which I want to, but I always was planning, you know, ahead.
Yes.
So now I have some concert in 2015, 2016 already. Wow. Fixed, and with the new composition.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's good to know that it's all a pattern you have followed before, and so it gives you a goalpost to keep running in that direction.
Me, you know, I have to get up in the morning, and I know that I have so many things ahead of me that I have no time to do nothing.
Yeah. That's something others could learn from.
I think this is important.
Yes, it definitely. You have a history and a connection with really almost every major musical organization in Chicago. you have had your works performed by, and you have conducted the Chicago Symphony.
Yeah.
Now you're here at Grant Park, the Lyra Singers, and of course the Lyric,
Lyric Opera. Yes.
And through no fault of your own, your work came at a time that the company was going through changes financially and so on, and some of that blame sort of got shifted in the direction of quote-unquote new music or Penderecki. Do you feel that maybe we could see Paradise Lost return to Chicago someday or return to the States?
Regained.
Right.
Yeah. I hope so. There were some discussion about it that I think this was what you said after the premiere. There was some problem with in the Chicago Lyric Opera, and but this piece was played in other opera houses in La Scala.
Yes.
So this and many times in Poland, of course. Yeah.
And it remains something that you feel a good connection with.
Oh, yes, yes. Is this one of my very important pieces? I think so.
Thank you.
How have you found working in this outdoor environment with the Grant Park Orchestra and Frank Gehry's interesting space?
You know, the orchestra is very good, so yes. It's very easy. We just played through Beethoven. I didn't need even to stop much. So it's a very good orchestra that gives me pleasure that really they follow and also they understand my piece, which is not so easy, but we rehearsed in 1 hour, was ready actually. Mm.
They have that ability and efficiency.
Absolutely.
And lastly, throughout your compositional history, it seems there has been a very wonderful interest in, it might sound oversimple, but parts. And whether you were combining things in that avant-garde period or in these works such as we heard at the CSO this season, and we'll be hearing it here, the Concerto Grosso for three cellos, or that you're writing a double concerto, these things that might have reference to Renaissance or Baroque soundings.
As a child, I wanted to be a violinist, and I was composing always, even when I was 6 years old, but always concerti for instrument. Mm. This was an instrument which I knew also. So it's like going back to something which I didn't, because I was 21, I stopped to compose, to play, because my professor told me that I am a composer, I should not waste time, playing violin.
And this was around 1954,
mm-hmm. Yeah, a little later maybe.
Okay. Mid-50s.
Mid-50s, yeah. And I started to compose more and more, there is no return also. But in my catalog of the works, there are many concertos. I think there are 15.
Yeah.
Concerts. It's like, in Baroque time, Vivaldi was writing maybe 200 concerts.
Well, you said you have long plans, so.
Yes, but not so. And I have another ideas for another concerti, like for trumpet.
But you also seem to like that interplay, the possibilities not only of soloist and orchestra, but sections of the orchestra and multiple soloists sometimes.
Yes, but yeah, especially in this piece, there are a lot of soli, woodwinds, oboe, and English horn, and horn, French horn. Yeah. Yeah, but this give me pleasure,
Yeah.
It's a play with also, it's not using the orchestra tutti.
Well, Maestro Penderecki, you said that if you looked at your recent period of composition or your quote-unquote post-avant-garde period, perhaps it's chaotic. I would say instead, looking at your whole career, there's a wonderful consistency of individuality and the things that give you pleasure and of the love of the instruments themselves. And I think
you mentioned this the post-avant-garde, but this is my avant-garde, because
right.
I was one of the composer who invented this avant-garde.
Right.
So I left this because this was done. And the avant-garde was going in the wrong direction, and I was right, because nobody's playing this music now, Only the composer who did it in the beginning, because then avant-garde is usually, 4 or 5 years, and this avant-garde was a very long time.
Yeah. But I guess that's what I was hoping to say, was that for you, things have to be new. And they have to be for you, and then you hope that maybe others will enjoy it. But so when the official new was old, it was time for you to to do your new things.
And you know, the way of the artist is it's like in a labyrinth. You don't go on the straight. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to go very often, go back to find the road. You
and
know,
you have to
ahead
watch out
you.
For the Minotaur.
Yes, you know. So I think this is. I am always searching for something new, just like that. This piece has a lot of things that were never before written for three celli.
Well, pan Krzysztof Penderecki, thank you so much for taking the time and.
Thank you very much.
Dziękuję bardzo.
Dziękuję.
We heard just now De Natura Sonoris, number 2 from 1971, and before that, The Dream of Jacob, 1974. All of the selections that we heard today were conducted by Krzysztof Penderecki, or Krzysztof Penderecki, depending upon if you want to use the Polish or international pronunciation. Penderecki, by the way, is spelled P-E-N-D-E-R-E-C-K-I, Penderecki. All of these works conducted by Penderecki. The Anaklasis, with which we opened the program, was with the London Symphony Orchestra, and all of the rest of the works with the Polish Radio National Symphony Orchestra. All of these recorded in the early and mid-1970s in Katowice, Poland, and at Abbey Road in London, and then remastered for CD in 1994. You can find all of these on an EMI Classics CD, probably out of print, but Matrix 5 in their New Music Matrix series that they were publishing in the 1990s. We'd like to thank the folks at the Grant Park Music Festival, Aaron Kalnan and Tony Macaluso in particular. We'd also like to thank Maestro Penderecki and his wife, Madam Elizabeth Penderecki. We hope to talk with her sometime. And also an amazing lady presides over a number of fascinating festivals, competitions, and other things that bring together music and musicians from Poland and the rest of Europe and the rest of the world. I'd like to thank our funders, Alphawood Foundation, Dick and Susan Kiphart, and other friends of this program. I'd like to thank Matt DeStefano for making this program sound great and for recording the interview downtown at Grant Park. Let us know what you thought about this or any of our other programs. Drop us a line. Rentap, that's Patner spelled backwards, R-E-N-T-A-P at AOL.com. And don't forget that at any time you can hear this or any of our other programs, WFMT.com/critical thinking, where you can experience the always free and listen to around the world Critical Thinking podcast. I'm Andrew Patner. We'll see you next week.